Hey guys, welcome to episode 60 of the JV Club. This is going to be kind of a brief intro because right now I have an inspector outside of my garage looking at my car because I was both sideswiped and rear-ended this morning. What a delight, guys. Luckily, it was not that serious. I'm very excited to say it was not my fault. And, but yeah, so I might get interrupted. So I'm just going to do some quick shout outs. I'm also behind in my shout outs because I was going to do that this morning and instead I got into a car accident. So, but I want to, welcome you all into episode 60 with Karen Kilgariff and Natasha Leggero. It was recorded live at the Bridgetown Comedy Festival earlier in, April. And, it was a pleasure. Listen, I got picked on by both of them. Karen sang some wonderful songs. Natasha gave the audience a hard time. I guess Karen probably did too, but it was a really fun show and I had a blast and I hope you guys enjoy this recording. I think they tried to mic the audience, but I don't know that the audience is that loud, but let me reassure you, they were a great audience and they laughed plenty. Shout out wise, I'm excited to say that Burning Love apparently won a Webby. I kind of catch up on the rest of the Webbies and find out what else happened, but that's good news. And the last episodes of Burning Love have now aired and I'm not in the finale, because unfortunately I was shooting HuffPost Live that day, so I couldn't be there for that particular episode. But hopefully you guys enjoyed season three and have enjoyed season one on E. And yeah, okay, so shout outs. Regarding the Mindy episode, I want to thank Ashley S. for sending me an email, Hiram for sending me an email about New Zealand. That's coming up. I'm very excited to be there. Hopefully I'll get to meet a couple of you guys who live thereabouts. Paul D. for his audio help. Thank you so much. On Facebook, I want to thank Benji, Lizzie G., Joseph Y., and Jenny S. Thanks, you guys, for coming up with new MASH categories for me. And Amanda E., a new listener, I want to welcome you. Rebecca, my dear Rebecca L., always. Kanan, thanks for the MASH suggestions. And then a lot of people have been weighing in with some great names for listeners of the podcast. You guys will also be hearing more about that in this episode of this week, since we talked about it live. But Andrew, I love the JV team. Paul D., I love the JV squad. Viscateers, Andrew, is a real mouthful, but it's a hoot. PJ, thanks for posting that thing about dog dreams. Rob S. suggests Club Kids. That's pretty damn good. Scott B., yes, I do love the Avengers. And Scott B. also suggested the mashups. Mashups as a name for JV Club listeners. That one's pretty good. In a way, that might be my new favorite. I'd love to hear what you guys think about that. Alexandra, thanks for informing me about metal bending being earth bending. Again, I'm so embarrassed because I do love the first Last Airbender series. And of course, that was an element of it. I just forgot about it. So thanks for reminding me. Alec, I agree with you. I would want to visit the future as well. Melanie on Twitter, I'm so glad that you enjoy the love of Anne of Green Gables that seems to be so pervasive on this podcast. Elena and Charles D., thank you for your shout outs about Burning Love. My sweet Jules, can't wait to meet you in New Zealand. And Victoria, thank you so much for coming to the Bridgetown podcast, taking photos and just being an all around wonderful person. And by the way, excellent photographer. Okay, guys, that is it from me. I will talk to you soon and I look forward to hearing from you. And I think we're going to do a t-shirt in the next couple of weeks. So I'll keep you guys advised of that. Probably 8 to 9 things I'm forgetting, but what can I say? I was in a car accident. I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Everybody. I asked for a bigger theater. What's going on? thank you guys so much for coming. I'm so thrilled to be here. I want to really thank, before I do anything else, Matt and Riley and Charlene and Andy and all the great folks at Bridgetown. They put together such a gorgeous festival. I can't believe how much they jammed in. What a delight. Everybody always talks about just how this is such an amazing city, and it's so,
Listen, I am so much more excited to see my friends when they're in a different city than I am in L.A. In L.A., it's like, I can see these people anytime. And so I don't, because you know how that goes. You're like, I can see him anytime. I love you, Greg Barron. 6 months later, you still haven't seen him. And when you run into them in Portland, all of a sudden you're like, ooh! And you're so excited, and you're in a different environment, and you're not, like, weighed down by all your local L.A. bullshit. So it's just, I feel like everybody, I mean, I really feel like I'm speaking for all the other comedians who are in from out of town, who just feel like we're so lucky to be here. And also so many comedians in L.A. who are very angry and bitter not to be here. Because we're constantly tweeting, like, oh, I just ran into Dana Gould. And Steve Agee's like, what? Hi, Steve Agee. Shout out to Steve Agee when he listens to this. So anyway, I you know what? I don't need a monologue. What am I, stand-up? I don't do stand-up. Everyone knows that. I'm going to go ahead and bring out... This is a repeat guest that I saw an opportunity when I realized that she wasn't yet programmed for the festival. And I was like, I call Natasha Leggero. I'm so glad that she is able to be here. And she just did the monologues for our theme park shows as well and was awesome. So please welcome Natasha Leggero to the stage.
Hello. Hi.
Oh, you have a mic. You came with your... Did you bring your own mic? Was your mic in that purse?
My own mic, yes.
Is that your LA mic?
Thoroughly clean. I am in Portland.
If you open up a mic case and just polish it off, and it actually, you know what? That kind of makes sense if you were like a germaphobe. Because I do always... It's hard when you pick up a microphone to go... Oh.
Some mics are absolutely revolting.
It's true.
I would like to carry one of those skinny ones. You know, like... That the old game show
like,
host
Jimmy Pardo always has, I think, for when he does game shows.
I was thinking more like Wink Martindale, but okay.
Or Wink, sure. I know I went super topical and brought someone up who is still alive. Listen, I don't know. Is
Jimmy Pardo still alive?
He okay, is great. Still alive. Is Wink Martindale still alive?
I don't know.
God, I kind of wish my nickname
was
Wink.
Can I move
Wink.
This thing from in
yeah,
front of my face?
Let's move these things over to the side.
By the way, I would like to apologize. I came straight from the float tank. So I have salt.
No, I mean, you actually do
over.
Have.
Yeah. Has anyone done this?
Did you guys do that?
Floating?
The float tank?
That doesn't
sound like
a... Are
there any other salty seafaring?
That sounds like a resounding no.
Who did this?
I have salt in my ears. It's just coming. It's really gross.
But had you done something like that before?
No.
Have you ever done a float? But when we got our Bridgetown performer packets, there were a series of things that we could do. And one of them was sensory deprivation. And that's what you did. You deprived your senses.
I deprived my senses, but meanwhile, I was just getting, like, salt was up my nose and in my eyes.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
You did. I mean, not the salt in your...
This isn't like a normal show. This is like a show that is also being blasted onto the internet throughout eternity.
Blasted! Like nuclear radiation.
Forever.
That's what I call the JV Club podcast.
But podcasts exist forever,
that's
right?
That's true. That's
okay.
True.
Just checking.
I keep telling myself that's not the case because the things that I talk about on my podcast, I don't really want to admit to the world that they now know all of those things.
Did you have like a very rich childhood? Do you keep having new things?
A resplendent childhood.
But how do you keep having... I mean...
Oh, I just make all of my stories up.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, I don't tell anything real. What if that were true?
Do you have a name for your fans?
No, should I?
Yeah, man. Get with it.
Like what?
What's this podcast called again? I'm going to help you.
Natasha Leggero, everybody.
I'm going to help you come up with a name.
It's called the JV Club.
The JV Club, which is like a play on words because Janet Varney and then like junior varsity.
Yes.
Okay, so what can we call... What do we call them? Our juniors?
She's selling it, guys.
No, it doesn't have to be good.
It.
No,
the juniors, the
worse
the
it is, the better. But
yeah.
Then you can have them like start singing back to you. Like I saw last night on Who Charted. They call their fans their charters or something, and they all were like, it was like I was in the middle of a cult meeting.
Everybody that does sound good.
Singing back, like, you know. I'm just saying it's something
ritual
to think about.
Sacrifice of a goat. That didn't happen. That'd be weird. It's an almost possible. Oh, what? Who? JV.
I think we should take suggestions.
I'm very open to suggestions. This is I don't get to do live podcasts very often, so as much audience participation as
like
possible.
Like Pete Holmes calls his people weirdos, and right? Uh-huh. Is that right? And then who else?
Whose hand is raised? Is that you, Natalie? Oh, Natalie. Hi, Terry. These are some Portland wonderful graphic artist friends that I made over
you
the internet.
You make so many friends. We were on the plane, and you're like, that guy's my new best friend.
I believe the guy you were sitting with. I called him my new mentor. I met someone on the plane
who
that
talked
I didn't...
to people on the plane.
How many of you have heard my podcast?
And then we got a ride here, and you talked to the guy who drove us here the whole time.
I did.
I must be so rude.
You're a bitch.
I just like
we're
to say
black and white up here. Nicest person, meanest person.
No.
Everybody knows that. No.
I just like to save my energy.
I know. For salt removal purposes.
I have two dogs, so.
Oh, see? She has two dogs, guys. That's why she's unfriendly. Come on.
I think we should figure out what your fans are called.
Okay, so we will take suggestions. Wait, I forgot that Natalie had raised her hand. I got so excited about shouting her out that I forgot that she had any suggestion. What is it? Juvies?
That's
Ooh,
pretty
Juvies
good.
Juvies is cute. Ooh, it's like we're up to no good.
Yeah. But can like, you say
cute,
that seriously,
no
though?
Good. Like, we're stealing, but we're also saving kittens. What?
Could you say that seriously, though, to your fans?
What's like, up, Juvies?
It kind of sounds like duvets. Next.
It kind of does. Oh.
No, it's okay.
You're the Simon. I'm the Paula. I don't know. I actually literally have never watched a single episode of American Idol, so I'm not sure.
Really?
If those people are still involved.
No, they're not.
They may have moved on from that.
Paula Abdul makes perfume now.
Oh.
I think. I don't know what's
happening. What's her perfume called? Should I call my listeners that perfume name?
That could be a good one. Yeah, it's almost like you're naming a perfume. Does someone else have a suggestion?
I like Juvie.
No?
I do like Juvies. What, anybody else? What was the one that you said? JVV? Oh, JVDs or something like that?
How about the Hivvies?
I don't want you guys to get...
The Jivvies. That could work.
The Jivvies. Oh, it's terrible. Well, you said the worse, the better. The Jivvies. I don't know. There's just something about that I guess I feel... What, no, I'm not speaking specifically of Jivvies. There's something really self-serving and like... very smug about naming your own like
and
fan
group. Also about having a podcast
for sure, but in fairness, every person sitting in this room has their own podcast.
I don't.
Everyone has a podcast. No, you don't. You're right.
I did.
Well, you don't like people.
I love people.
I know you do.
Not as much as I love chihuahuas, but
yeah,
people are a close second.
You gotta make a choice. Okay, well, if people want to ruminate on things to call people who listen to this podcast, I welcome your suggestions. But I totally understand if we don't
we
move forward from that
more.
At all. Are you smoking a... Oh! They're very popular. What? Screaming? Hey, screamings! That can't be what you said. There's no way that that's what you said.
Does anyone else have one or no? Then I will drop. Second string?
That's cute. That's a whole group of, whoa, did that just get like a bleat? That wasn't even a groan. That was like,
can I just say you have a lot of male listeners for a podcast that only interviews women about their childhood.
I'm very lucky. I'm very, very lucky. All right. Let's talk for one more second about sensory deprivation because I am curious about it. You did not have a panic attack.
I did have this e-cigarette in there with me, though.
Did you really?
No.
Oh, that'd be so awesome. That's so, like, Holly-go-lightly went to a sensory deprivation tank.
It was cool. It was all right. I mean, I actually stayed in there for 2 hours. Because,
that's such a long time.
Well, it was supposed to be 90 minutes, and then she said when the music plays, I guess you were supposed to get out. But then that's when I just started, like, getting into the experience.
Yeah.
They were playing some nocturnes. Like, it was relaxing.
Sounds great.
Oh, do you guys like Chopin's Nocturne?
Shout out for the Chopinies. Oh. I name people about
I think by the end of this podcast, it's going to come to us what the name of your fans are.
Great.
I'm
can't
excited.
Wait. But you were telling me that the person, the deprivation tank person, said all the comics come here because all their great ideas come when they're...
Oh, yeah. This girl's like, oh, yeah, I always write and float. She's like...
Portland. So good.
Yeah, I guess they go to the flotation tank and then...
But how do you write? But that's what I was
well,
saying.
Well, you're not how like you... writing in the water.
I gotta...
I mean, it's super salty. It's like, it's salt with water in it. Like, it's very salty.
Would you say it's more salt than water?
Yeah. Like, she was like, it's like, yeah, it's got like 90 pounds of salt or it's something Ooh. Crazy. That's not the right amount, but it's something, it was something that was a lot.
Fascinated, yet not fascinated enough to
But
do
I think the idea is that you clear your head and things come to you.
Did you come up with any great new material?
No. Nothing.
Well, I want to get Karen out here because we're going to grill her about her adolescence. And before
so
that
funny.
Happens, I know she's amazing. I'm so glad that she is doing the podcast. And I would love to start with a song from Karen, and then we'll put her in the hot seat. So let's bring out Karen Kilgariff once again, everyone. Thank you.
Yes.
Where's the guitar thing?
Guys, I've got some ideas about the name.
Do you?
Well, yeah, I'm standing backstage doing nothing. I'm glad I had that break, though, to let my hair dry in between the opening song.
Perfect.
In this moment. Well, how about it's the JV Club, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Clubfooters.
Hey!
Clubfooters!
Woo!
And then it's very inclusive. There's all kinds of people that could get involved.
It's true. I am nothing if not inclusive.
Right. And then it could be like the sophomores, because that's on JV, you're either a freshman or a sophomore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I still like second string, but that's just like, but it's hard to, because then you're talking about a whole group of people.
I'm a professional writer, so you're probably going to want to go with some of these gems. I know everyone loves comedy, but I make a living at it, so...
Sophomores it is. Thank you, Karen.
Okay.
For bullying me
into
this.
No, it's two bitches against one nice girl.
Uh-oh.
What have I done?
Scale has slid over on our side, Natasha.
Should I do a song?
Yes, please.
Okay. This is a new one that I'd bring to all the clubfooters out there. What up, CFs? You are the best. That's not the song. And it's the first song we did either. Similar rhythms. All my songs have the same rhythm and basic chords. I love music.
Everybody's been in a business situation. Everybody has suffered under fluorescent lights. We've all said, oh my God. How much longer will I be here? And oh my God, what is happening to my life? And everybody stood in a corporate kitchenette, just staring at a cupboard full of creamer, scared to death that they'll never find real love, and scared to death they'll only get meaner. Oh, you only get this one life. Sorry, Buddhist. You better make sure you're doing it right now. Because you could feel a lump in the back of your throat and find out you have stage 5 cancer. You could get shot by a little kid or plow into the back of a Mitsubishi Lancer. You could take a moonlight cliffside walk and then fall into the sea erosion. You could hit your head on a Murphy bed and forget me. Oh, you only get this one pass. Better make sure you don't spend the whole time acting like a fucking ass. Oh. Because everybody's been in a business situation, and everybody has suffered under fluorescent lights. We've all said, oh my God, how much longer will I be here? And oh my God, what is happening in my life? We can't afford to be innocent. Stand up and face the enemy, it's you. It's a do or die situation. This is a straight up business situation.
Thank you.
Do you want to take this off?
Awesome. Yeah, let's do it. Let's have you join us. What if I wouldn't let you take the guitar off?
I'll you just can stand over us, here like your yeah. band.
Anyways. I have all my bullshit right here, so okay. Maybe we should switch places.
Okay.
Karen, that was awesome. Thank you so
much. That was real good. I never heard that one before.
Thanks, Natasha.
But, I mean, you can take your guitar off if you want to. I feel
like
bad.
I like wearing it because it kind of blocks a little bit of my donut pizza roll that I've developed here.
Fantastic.
At Bridgetown.
Oh, I've been...
Thank you, Voodoo Donuts and Sizzle Pie Pizza.
Such easy, endless access to all of those delicious
constant.
Portland treats.
Because if you like donuts and cereal and bacon and Butterfingers.
But Karen, it's such a hassle to have to eat all of those separately.
Janet, don't worry about it anymore. They're all on one fucking donut now.
There's no way you're telling the truth right now.
Go upstairs and fucking check. That's a good bit. That's a good commercial
it
for
was,
Voodoo
wasn't
Donuts.
It?
Radio spots.
Yeah. I can't enjoy those donuts because of my gluten intolerance, but Portland is a great place to eat other crappy
Go
stuff.
Go on about your gluten intolerance.
Well, it's a real challenge that a lot of people face now.
That's what a complainer sounds like who has medical problems.
And lives in Los Angeles.
And lives in Los Angeles. They all have them. First of all, thank you for that marvelous song.
You're welcome.
It was really marvelous.
I can only assume that it was autobiographical and that all of those things have happened to you.
No, I wrote that about Lyndon B. Johnson. I hear that he had a hard time in the office.
You're a very big lover of American history.
I am.
And the presidents, and the vice presidents specifically.
I like Vice, yeah. Vice is better.
I get it.
They're better.
I get it. Their stories are more complicated.
Right, and they're like underdogs.
And they're more misunderstood. I totally understand.
Yeah.
Where were you? Where were you a teenager? In what locale?
Where was I at? I lived in Petaluma, California, which is...
Petaluma's lovely.
That's the most supportive I've ever heard a Portland
totally
audience.
Totally impossible. Yeah. Whatever you're cheering for is incorrect.
I have a friend from Petaluma. I feel like there might be a dairy parade. Is that, am I crazy?
Oh, you mean the Butter and Eggs Day Parade? That's this coming Saturday?
Oh!
Yes.
Butter and eggs. But Karen, there's no way. I love parades about butter and I love parades about eggs, but I don't have time to go to two separate
parades.
Well,
we voodoo donated this thing for
you,
lady.
Holy shit.
It's all on one. It's really awesome. It's really small. And it's like all the kids from karate class march by. And then it's like everybody from the Petaluma Market in their aprons or whatever. My dad gets really, he's like the, you know, ornery old guy. He goes every year, but he's like, this parade's bullshit. I could get up and march if I wanted to. Like, it's not a... Yeah. My father doesn't think it's a high-quality enough parade.
But he goes.
Of course he
because
goes.
There's nothing else to do there.
There is not one other thing to do.
Right. When did you leave? I assume that you left for college.
I did. I left when I was 18. Then I immediately, or I took a good year and a half to flunk out of college, and then I moved back for a year, and that was awesome because I was like 20 living in my hometown, and it's small enough so that there was not one other person living there that was 20 years old. Like, everyone was gone for college or just away or jumped on a train or whatever. Uh-huh. And so I was told it was me and my parents and like my cousin that were, that's all I did for a year. And then I finally saved up enough money to move into San Francisco.
Are you an only child?
No, I have a sister.
Okay. How old's your sister? I mean, in
2 years older.
Okay.
Yeah, she was there too,
like
but
her?
I just don't acknowledge her.
You like
her? Yeah, I love her. We're really close.
And you?
I'm just trying to add to the question.
I like
yeah,
it.
Get in here.
No, I'm
I don't have a podcast, so.
I think you're doing just fine. I think you're doing just
You
fine.
Should have a podcast from a salt flotation tank.
I actually am doing a podcast from my hot tub.
Really?
Soon.
There you go.
Teaser.
Yeah, nobody can wait for that.
Careful about the electronics, though.
I got it figured out.
Yeah.
You got a plan.
Also got a name for my people, but you know, we'll just figure.
God, you
we'll
have
get,
got it
We'll get
all.
To yours.
Look at you. Yeah, look at us. We're going to really turn straight to
Should
you.
Should we all do it like we're on the bus?
No. Yeah. You can look at us. No.
What's
no.
that?
You can look at us. No. You can look back at us. You're allowed to look back at us. You have one brother? Little brother.
I have two brothers.
I remember that you had to, this is what I remember from when you did my podcast. I remember that you had to do your little brother's laundry. Right?
That must have been a great episode.
Yeah.
That's all she remembers about you.
That
She's
was
got
highlight.
Some good comedy.
You did your little brother's laundry, and I remember that you did Miss Havisham. Little Havisham.
Yeah,
the,
Estella.
The little Havisham that could.
No, I mean, I was just an oldest child, so sometimes oldest children have to, like, you know, have to vacuum and shit. And so, yeah, I did.
You had
do
a
my,
lot of responsibility.
I did.
Did you? You?
I was
Ooh,
the youngest child. Teamwork. I mean, yeah. Did I have to
That's
vacuum?
That's a no.
Was the...
I mean, you
did
were
you
the youngest... This is your podcast.
Yeah, we're not in a hot tub right now, so push it back. What's the question?
I do. Did you have to vacuum? That was a pressing question.
Actually, to be honest, my mom was in charge of vacuuming because she was super anal about the lines, and you would get in so much trouble if you walked over the lines right after she vacuumed.
Damn.
But it was weird because it's not like she was... anal about anything else. It was like maybe because she was a working mom or something, but she would get really into like she rage vacuumed basically. And then we'd come through, you know, like barefoot butter and egg style and just be like, what's going on? And she'd be like, go in this room. That's what vacuuming means to me.
Why would you what that's not that doesn't feel like that's the purpose of vacuuming is not to create lines in your carpet. It's just to suck up the dirt and debris.
Sometimes it's status vacuuming, you know what I mean? Sometimes
yeah.
Your carpet lines mean it's who you are. It's
like she
defines you.
Would you go as far as to say you can read people's fortunes based on the
yes.
vacuum lines?
I knew when my mother was going to die to the day.
Oh my God.
Based on the vacuum lines.
That's stunning.
I know, and I was very young. It was upsetting.
Oh. Petaluma does seem like it could be one of those like small Northern California towns where it's like, and everyone knew the town witch. You know what I mean? Sometimes we'd go to the medium who would tell us, and like she had all these herbs, and if you buried your cat in her garden.
It was very, well, we were totally farm people. I mean, I grew up 5 miles out of town. My next door neighbor, my Aunt Jean, lived next door, and they had a ranch. Like,
what happened?
What's this? Holy shit, my Aunt Jean Hospital. Who are you? Oh, it's really?
Ooh.
What's your last name? Beechler?
Did she just say that her mom was fired by your dad?
No. Our dads were firemen together in San Francisco.
Oh.
And then I guess, then you're a professional heckler? Is that what you are? No, she's trying to be friends. She knows if she does it after the show, it's going to be weird.
And this kind of thing does not happen in the privacy of a hot tub, like your podcast, or in the privacy of my, I guess I'll call it my den.
That's right.
Because that's sexy sounding.
This is the electricity of
live
podcasting.
This is the electricity of live
podcasting. Or in any other city besides Portland.
That's right.
For sure.
They have very specific heckles.
But what's super weird to me is that our dads were together, but she knew my next door neighbor's last name. So I'm going to need someone to call 911 real quick. Real quick. We'll do it low key.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's very small. It's very small area.
Did you work the land?
Yes.
Did you really?
My chore was to collect eggs every day.
Holy
from
smokes.
A real chicken coop with a hand under a chicken. I mean, the real deal. That's why I'm so bitter.
So you did have a lot of responsibility.
I did.
A lot of OVO responsibility.
Yes, I had a... That's why I think people who are super into PETA and animals, I just think they're the most hilarious things in the world, because clearly they never had to take care of animals. Like, the dead eye of a cow as you're trying to feed it and fucking get it out of the way, where it's just like... It's so meant to be eaten, it's not even funny. I know that people get upset and they get it's like a very big deal and there's a lot of tears and posing for pictures and whatever, but oh my God, animals are meant to be eaten like crazy. Oh.
And what about Warren?
War? I'm totally pro-war.
No, I mean, is fur okay?
No, that's gross.
Why?
It's just presentational. That's not eating. That's not, you don't have to do it. We're not cavemen anymore.
But no, because Natasha was feeling pretty cold upstairs in the green room.
Oh, this is your personal fur defensiveness.
No, I'm just wondering what your, because, you know, you mentioned PETA, so I'm wondering what your stance on fur is.
I just told you.
You're against it.
I don't, well, because fur...
Because it is warmer than not wearing it.
Well, so is like a coat of bacon.
No, it is actually warmer than...
Look, Natasha...
I just flash back to one of my first iTunes reviews that said, this podcast is like listening to a hug with this with like, mean it's murder around your neck.
Brunettes are meaner than blondes, aren't they?
I don't know if that's true.
On this show.
I feel like, yeah, right now, here and now, for sure, yes.
Definitely.
But in life, I don't know if I would say that at all. I feel like blondes can be super mean and just like snobby and stuff, right?
I say redheads are murderers.
Yeah.
Let's take
a stand.
Is that
what
we're doing?
For sure.
What are we doing?
You got to pick one. Okay. You got to hate on them.
Pick someone to hate.
Pick someone and hate them.
That makes me think of, oh my God, we watched Gallagher earlier. I had to go and take a shower.
Yeah.
You got very upset by it. It was like making you sick to your stomach.
I got sick to my stomach. Then I started yelling at her for no reason. And I had to say, Natasha, I'm in a snit. Oh. Gallagher's racism, his overt racism and bad comedy put me in the worst mood I've ever been in.
He quoted today, we have a chocolate president.
Yeah.
That's not to be entertained or like, oh, isn't that funny, the crazy old man? That's like, shut the fuck up, grandpa.
Well, this is what I feel like.
It's not cool. It's not cool. It's not entertaining or ironic. It's bad behavior from a person who needs to be quiet.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to surprise you with our special guest. Gallagher, would you please come up here to defend yourself?
I'm his hugest fan. Oh, my God, the big couch.
He's going to play some of his original songs. How sad. If he came out and he had his own, like, and they're all way better than mine.
I'm like, oh, shit.
Gallagher, I feel like, is, all due respect to the person I'm about to mention, but in terms of, like, the buzz at the festival, like, did you hear about what happened with Gallagher? Is, like, the Andy Dick of Bridgetown 2011, right? Because 2 years ago it was like, oh my God, did you hear that Andy Dick is... Oh, did he come back in 2012?
The last...
I wasn't here last year, so I didn't know.
Venue we were at, we couldn't even use the bathroom because of something Andy Dick did in there in 2011.
But see, we actually said, can we just quickly use the backstage bathroom? And they were like, I'm sorry, there's no bathroom anymore because of Andy Dick. And we were like, what?
Andy Dick can make plumbing disappear with his alcoholism.
He's amazing.
But the thing now, what like, I love Andy Dick's story because he got sober and now he's on Dancing with the Stars. And
he is?
Yes. And he still hasn't gotten knocked out. A lot of people in the audience are like, too bad, we hate him. He made a bathroom disappear. But he actually is kind of like on the way back up in terms of recovery and stuff.
That's you great. Call being on Dancing or Diving with the Stars?
Dancing.
Dancing with the Stars. I get them confused.
Yeah. It's the dancer.
That's on the way up.
You know what? Now it feels like you have the Gallagher tinge on you now.
No, I'm asking you, really, like, is that, maybe it is the way up. Okay.
In America, yes.
Okay.
Dancing with the Stars. It is a kind of
a big deal. It's what everybody watches. I mean, in terms of like...
That is a good point. That is what people watch.
Yeah, that's what I'm not talking about high-class comedy or anything like that.
I have a lot of respect for people on Dancing with the Stars because I had to do a... I had to shoot something with one of the dancers. I forget his name.
Maxime?
Yes, Max. Yeah, exactly.
I don't watch the show.
And they had... And I'm not... I am not a dancer. And they had him, like, do a bunch of lifts and stuff. And I could not, like... like inhale for a week because I think he may have cracked a rib. And I took a picture. I had just bruising all along both sides of my body, and it was incredibly painful.
Did they
cut out most of the dance sequence that I shot.
Did you sass off to him? Is that why he did that to you?
Yeah.
You're mouthy.
I was like, you're not so great.
Russia.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he put you in the old clencher.
Did you take dance when you were? I can't remember. I know you took musical theater stuff, but did you?
Well,
take
I went
dance?
To a creative performing arts program, so we were always doing like
hot lunch jam.
Yeah.
What's hot lunch jam?
You did not go to creative performing arts high school.
What's hot lunch jam?
I just caught you.
Well, I was in Rockford, Illinois, so.
Oh. Hot lunch jam. Do you ever see the movie Fame?
Yeah. Oh, is that what they call it?
When y'all go ape shit in the cafeteria?
I didn't. I don't remember that.
Natasha.
I'm a little younger than you.
Damn, girl. Remember when you talked earlier about how you wanted to write a song together? This song's called Damn, Girl.
Did you do like dance stuff? What kind of creative, artistic stuff did you do?
Thank you for asking.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
I did ballet when I was little, like 6 to 8. Then the ballet teacher told my mother that I had heavy legs and that I should not pursue. Get ready to hold some of my pain. Then when I was like 12, I took jazz, but back in the Flashdance era when everyone was doing what we called jazz at the time.
I mean, Flashdance is it does make you want to become a dancer.
Yeah. And
doesn't
you know,
it? And
we all learned the thriller dance. And
doesn't it make you want to rub your foot against a guy's Johnson when you're eating lobster, too?
I'm not the only
person who saw this movie.
But you're the only person who calls a dick Johnson.
Yeah. Well, I like vice presidents.
Just like me.
Exactly.
It did make me want to be a welder.
You might have missed the point of the movie. I think she was trying to get out of that business.
That's right.
And into the dance world.
Oh, I thought it was reverse.
No,
I'm going to dance my way into welding.
Exactly. The unhappy dancer with dreams to become a welder.
Just to bring iron together permanently. Oh, if only.
Was it sexy like that? Like Flashdance sexy jazz? Or was it like... Because you held up your hands and I saw almost jazz hands.
Yeah.
So
there was a lot of... Yes, there was a lot of kind of... There's it's a lot of... For the folks at home, I'm doing kind of a lean over a fosse kind of thing with my hand out to the left, but I'm leaning to the right. And you can feel the tension. And there was a lot of that kind of stuff. But we were all 12, so it was just... It wasn't sexy. It was more just an after-school program. Kind of thing.
Right.
And then again, that was the thing where I realized I had a kind of a realization moment in the middle of class one day where I was like, I'm too fat to be here. And then I stopped doing it. Yeah.
But you have to be like real, like crazy skinny to be.
Well, and also when I was 12, I weighed 400 pounds. So
it's
an amazing journey that I've had. It was all the butter and the eggs. You can't eat that much.
Yeah.
Can I ask Karen a question?
Please.
When did you find out you had talent?
Which kind of any variety?
I mean, you know, like where you were
you were a great egg collector. We all knew that.
Yes. That was my first clue when I picked it up so smoothly and thought, yes, I've got it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know what it was? I always had a rhythm and I was always... I knew every word to every song that played in the car. It felt like we spent our whole lives in the car when we were little.
I know. Right. What was that? My mom, by the way.
Constantly in the car.
Can I ask a question? Like, people don't go to the post office and the grocery store and leave their kids in a hot car anymore, do they?
I don't think so.
Because I feel like most of my childhood, I was in a car.
Yeah.
Well, a hot car.
A hot car.
That wasn't on while my mom was, running errands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, now, if I, leave my chihuahua with the windows down and the air conditioning running, people are like, excuse me.
Yeah.
You need to,
over the loudspeaker at the grocery store. Will the woman with the chihuahua.
Yeah.
We will close this store until you go get your dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, we were in the car a lot. I was
always in the car. My mom was always smoking at Benson and Hedges with the windows rolled up. And so that's what I always paid attention to. And one time, this was one of my favorite memories. I was sitting in the back seat, and my mom and my sister were in the front, and Blondie's Rapture came on. And when it came to the rap breakdown part,
yeah,
scared
I know
the shit out of me.
I was trying to recreate a memory.
She's awesome. When it came to the breakdown rap part of Rapture, I was just sitting in the back. I was probably 8 or 9, and I just said, I rapped out every word along with the radio. And literally, my mom and sister were both like, oh my God, like, what are you doing? It's like, get that ready and blah, blah, blah. Whatever. I don't have it anymore, but I think that was when everyone knew that I really had the magic.
When did you start playing guitar?
I didn't start playing guitar until like 97 or something.
Okay. Was that when you were when you first started Girl Guitar Club?
Yeah. It was like right before I was on speed, and so I needed something to do with my hands. And a lot of comics play the guitar, like take it with them on the road when they're just by themselves. So I got like Tony Kameen taught me how to play a G, and Eben Schletter taught me how to play the C. Eben Schletter's someone that said, if you can figure out how to get from a G to a C, you'll be able to play any other chord combination.
I love him. He's so talented.
He's so brilliant. Awesome. If
Eben
you know
Schletter,
he did all the music for Mr. Show, and he
does it for Comedy Bang Bang.
Yeah, he's really brilliant. Mm. And there was lots of people who were just like, hey, play this, play that. And then I realized if I could figure out these basic chords, there were so many songs, if you just know G, C, and D, that
for
you
sure
can play. So many. And I was just like, it almost made me mad. Like, why doesn't anyone tell anybody this? And that's why we did the Girls Guitar Club that way. It was like we were trying to spread the message, like, don't fall for this bullshit. Like, you have to be able to noodle like Yngwie Malmsteen
right
to be able to play the guitar. Like, anybody.
Do you
literally
guys know who Girls Guitar? Did you know that it's Marilyn Ryscub and Karen Kilgariff were doing very wonderful music together as a duo for some years? It was quite wonderful.
It was.
And you did Sketchfest, one of our first Sketchfests.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Good stuff. That was before 24. That was before you, I think that maybe was before you were writing on Ellen.
Yeah, yeah, it was before. It was really before we were real people.
God. It's fun to look back on those empty shells of human beings
wow
that would do music together. And you sang? Did you sing when you were doing?
No.
You didn't?
No.
Will you sing a little now?
Yeah. It's never too late. Because you sang something.
No, I have
you
musical.
You sarcastically sang something when you were doing monologues for improv last night. And I was like, listen to her voice that
she
I've never heard.
She can sing.
She's got a great voice.
She can sing.
Oh, what was that? Oh, it was the Cock Balls Tain song.
I'm glad I was able to. A non-existent musical that got invented on stage.
I have musical talent, but because I don't come from a good family, it was not nurtured. And now I have to give up on that dream.
Never. It's never too late. Gallagher taught us that.
That's right.
He is back to show us that it's never too late.
Oh, dude, it's so too late for him.
Oh.
When we walked
right
in,
when
he was like,
who is making any kind of a negative sound toward that comment? You're out of your mind, ridiculous, or a Republican. He's insane,
Gallagher.
Pathetic.
Oh.
I'm so mad. I'm still mad.
I know. I was gonna ask more questions about him, but I guess we shouldn't waste
Let's
our time.
Let's not do
talking
it. I'll go insane.
Because now we're like feeding the press machine. Okay. And so you left for college. What was your high school like? Was it really small? Or were there a lot of other people?
My high school is tiny. I went to high school
from other communities there.
Three. No, I can't. I just want to make fun of you. I went to high school. There was 350 other people in my school.
Total in all 4 years?
Total, yes.
Oh, my. That is small.
But it was private.
Oh.
Thank you. Was that the whole question?
I guess. I mean, I'd like to know sort of what you were into back then.
Oh, I have
like
a question.
Okay.
Okay. So.
Here we go.
What? This is very personal. But this is why I like stand-up comedians. Because you always, like, once you talk to them, you're like, oh, that's why you're a comedian.
Yeah.
It's usually something kind of dark that happened to you. Do you remember anything like that?
I sure do.
Oh, that's a wide open question.
I sure do.
Yeah. How are you? So let me rephrase just for fun. How are you broken?
And the answer
is, it doesn't happen.
In half.
Mm-hmm.
well, it was that once I hit adolescence, like when I was in grammar school, I was superstar, friends with everybody, it all was working great. And then I hit junior high and adolescence and that awkwardness, and suddenly I was invisible. And it was the freakiest feeling. And it was because it was like, the, you know, suddenly that's when boys only talk to girls they liked or wanted to kiss or whatever. And that whole thing of like boys and girls just being friends and running around and playing games was totally over. And I couldn't manage it. I didn't know how to negotiate it. I didn't feel like I could be attractive. So my option was, well, I'm just going to talk really loud from now on. And I just had to have all the attention all the time and was a ridiculous fool from seventh grade until today, till right this moment. I've honed it a little bit, but yeah.
Did you get D's in conduct? What was it? C's, D's?
No, I was smart enough to, I would always say stuff under my breath. I was that person. I mean, I was loud, like, I was scared of authority. So I didn't want to get in trouble. I just wanted people to, like, pay attention to me. I told the story already, but one day in sixth grade, I stood up on a bench on the playground and started doing an impression of Jerry Jewell from Facts of Life for everybody. Who is Blair's cousin
now,
who had cerebral palsy.
Natasha, you may not know this because you're so very young.
Yeah,
no,
you're young.
You may didn't, you not have, know.
No, I actually think generation. That I did that as well.
Did you really?
Well, she was so... I wasn't trying to make fun of a person with a handicap in as much as I could do that impression so well. It was so, it's such a distinctive person. And I was so... I thought it was so cool that I could do her slurry voice
so
or whatever.
I'm so glad you even hinted at doing it because I was secretly hoping you would do it just now.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, I don't believe in it anymore as a comedic construct.
Yeah.
You know?
You've not based your entire act on Jerry Jewell.
I feel like I don't need,
not in the
I
rotation.
Don't need it anymore. Yeah. I don't need it anymore, but I sure did then. And I stood up and literally kids gathered around and were fucking laughing their asses off. And it was like so glorious until I literally got yanked by the collar off of the bench and dragged to the principal's office. And I got in so much trouble. Yeah.
Oh my.
But until that point.
So that's amazing to me that you really had an actual stand-up comedy moment.
You had an act.
You fully had an act.
I had an act that I'm judging Gallagher for being like, when that's actually my roots. Maybe that's why I hate him so much. It's because I know how ugly
it
is.
We hate what we know. We see ourselves.
It's a lot of mirror work.
Yeah.
This whole festival is mirror work.
Big time. Well, so if you were feeling like you weren't getting the attention, I'm asking questions I would ask if we were sitting in my living room instead of in front of a bunch of people.
Podcast.
But what the hell?
Right?
Did it work with the boys or was it?
Oh, no.
Just,
guys don't like funny girls.
Yeah. So did you have anybody?
They were like,
did you
just, ugh. That was just, oh, what?
Stop being so.
And I was like, hey, come back.
Yeah,
I'm super loud. Come back. So sad.
Crushes that didn't come to any fruition in high school?
All. I actually had a really genius moment, actually, though, and the kind of the glory of Facebook. I'm sure everyone's had these moments where you kind of like re-meet people you went to high school with or talk again to the people that you had these crazy crushes on or whatever. And there was a guy that I really liked, and in junior year, at lunchtime one day, my friend Katie, who is like the popular prom queen girl, came up and she goes, I just told Dan that he needs to ask you to the prom because they knew each other from grammar school and he was really shy but he's really cute and whatever so she goes, so he's gonna ask you after school. And I was like, it was like that moment where I was like, oh, I finally get my John Hughes time. It's finally going to happen to me.
Sure.
I'm finally going to be a real teenager with a real moment and go on a real date and all that stuff. And I was like beyond freaking out. And what I didn't know was that my friend Patty had told her friend who had liked me, who was pretty nerdy at the time. He's actually now very successful and rich and the classic nerd thing.
Yeah.
But she had
his John Hughes moment.
Yeah, exactly. She told him to ask me. So I find that out as I'm walking into the last period of school, you know, like I'm almost to the end of the day and I'm sitting in the back row, the last desk, and there's a back door to the classroom and I'm sitting there and the guy that's going to ask me the prom is sitting in the first desk in the row I'm in. And I'm like, okay, well, I thought that was going to be a huge problem, but he was on the nerd guy was on the tennis team, and the tennis team had left for a game. So I was like, oh God, I'm in the clear. Like, I thought that was going to mess it up really badly, but I'm in the clear. And so I'm like just sitting there waiting for this class to end, and the back door opens, and in crawls the nerd guy, crawling on his hands and knees up to my desk. Hey, do you want to go to the prom?
What?
And I'm like looking at him like I felt like I was melting. I felt it was just like all of my dreams are dying right now. And then I look up the row, and the guy that I like in his big varsity jacket is looking back at me with this look of death on his face, just like enraged. And in my school, it was so small, you had to say yes to people. Like girls could not say no to guys.
Why did he crawl up on his hands and knees?
Because he wanted to kill me. It was just like that thing where like he might as well have been like half snake, how horrifying it looked. To see him, no, like, and I couldn't move, and the teacher was teaching, like, it was, and so I, of course, yes, and then he's like, good, great, I'll call you, and slithers away, and then I look up, and from that day on, the guy I liked was so evil to me, like, he bullied me for the rest of high school, because he was, and at the time, I was just like, he hates me, or whatever, and I realized it was because he had hurt feelings, and we actually talked about it when we re-met on Facebook, like,
oh, yeah,
haha, wasn't high school so horrifying?
Have you been, so in a town like Petaluma, I was going to ask if you would ever or had ever gone to like a high school reunion type scenario.
I did. I went
did
to
you?
My 20th.
You
yeah,
did?
I did.
You skipped your 10th, went to your 20th?
Exactly. When I was my 10th, I was all crazy on drugs in LA, and but I was like, no way, man, I can't ever go back. And then when my 20th rolled around, my friend David Knowles and I were like somewhere together because he lived in LA too. And he was like, so we're going to go to the 20th, right? And I was like, oh no, I can't. And he goes, why not? And then I was like, I don't know. I guess I'll go. Because it was all, you know, I was trying to make it all dramatic in my head of like, everyone hates me or I'm so something. And of course, no one gives a shit and they all have three kids and have their
Is
own
that
lives.
How it was?
Exactly. It was so fun.
It was.
It was great. Yeah. It was awesome.
Have you thought about going to, I know you only graduated a couple years ago, but.
No, I did not.
Did you go to your three?
I didn't go to, I didn't even go to prom.
Why not?
I just wasn't into it.
You're just traipsing around in your fur, like, fuck them.
Did you have a boyfriend, like, during prom era? I can't remember.
But he was, like, a little older than me.
Of course he was.
Of course. He was a local businessman.
He was the mayor.
This one.
He was the married mayor.
I like to think, like, Natasha's been, like, this high glam since, like, age 4.
I know.
It's just never not
I
been like
too.
This.
Can I just say? Can I just say she got this
he
awesome
owned a car
hat.
Dealership?
Yes, exactly.
We I've christened been, many been, an Oldsmobile.
I've been seeing Ronald for 4 weeks now. She bought this hat today after the floating, and her hair was all fucked up, and she went in to get the hat.
Thank you.
Right? I love that.
It's
hat.
A really, really good hat. But yeah. She goes, it's like a vintage store, of course, like a, and she goes up, she's buying it, and she looks at the girl and goes, "Can you steam this for me?"
I knew she didn't have a steamer. It's Portland. I wanted to see how she would react.
Hilarious. Can you throw this in the hat steamer for me? Do you know who I am?
I didn't say that.
You weren't into prom?
No, I didn't go to prom. I don't go to my reunions. I was kind of beat up in high school.
Physically?
Yeah.
Really? Because you were small? Get into it.
Talk about this on yours.
I wish you would. Did you? I don't think so. I just remember the home side of just having so many responsibilities and sort of being like angry about that.
My high school was like very, it was inner city. So like I had my group of friends, but then there was like 70% Vietnamese. I don't know why. I mean, I don't know why in Rockford there was something. And then it was like black Vietnamese, but the black girls did not like me and my friends. And so this girl named Yolanda, who was pregnant.
Does anyone know Yolanda? Stranger things have happened. We know Yolanda, the two firefighting dads.
So one day she decided to start a fight after a pep rally, and she threw a book at my head and then ripped my friend Lynn's earrings out of her ears. And so
what trimester was she in?
She was
very dangerous. It's worrisome to me.
So then we all had to go home, and then we had to come back to school. I mean, but it was just stuff like this all the time. So I had to go back the next day with her mom and my mom, and then my friend Lynn and her mom. And the girl, because Yolanda said that my shoes were ugly. Because I was always wearing, like, really crazy platform shoes. And so we're sitting in the principal's office, and I would always get these bursts of, I wouldn't even know what I was going to say. I would just stand up and start talking, kind of like now. And so I stood up, and I was like, I just want to be able to walk down the hallways of my school without getting beaten up, you know, for what kind of shoes I'm wearing. And Yolanda's mom goes, well, your shoes is ugly. And then I was leaving the meeting with my mom, and Yolanda is walking by, huge, like just about to give birth. And I'm with my mom, who's very timid from a farm. And Yolanda goes to my mom, what you looking at, bitch? And then I thought she was, I didn't know if she was going to start a fight. Anyway, so I moved high schools. But I moved around a lot, so I don't really feel like...
You didn't have that
connection.
Feeling about, oh, the prom.
No, yeah. Team spirit, no prom, no Fair connection
enough.
At all.
Fair enough.
I was just ready to move
I
most of
it.
My life. But Petaluma is a beautiful place. At least you get to go back to, like, the times I've been to Petaluma, it seems like it's like Ireland or something.
Yeah, it's really nice. Both my grandparents were from Ireland, and my grandmother, when they moved to Sonoma, which is right over the hill, and she said the reason she loved it there so much is because it looked exactly like where she grew up.
That's funny. Did you know that was coming?
You
no,
talk
very
about
specific
it all the time.
Reference.
Well, no, I've been there.
I know, but
no,
like,
it
it's
literally,
just interesting,
but it looks like
that,
Ireland.
Yeah. It does, yeah. This like short rolling hills. And
right.
It's, yeah. It's
like
great.
Where I'm from, they just put a billboard in my hometown congratulating the number one Mexican restaurant called Taco Bell.
That is super depressing.
I mean,
it
I'm just saying
depressing.
That's
is it true.
Yes. I Instagrammed it. I'll show it to you after.
Oh, my God. That's so horrifying. Okay. I think, I've never done this before, but I do like to play a game of MASH. And
hey, get
I
off
think,
my...
I mean, I've never done, like, this is like a...
You brought your purse out here?
I think because she said, can I leave my stuff up here? And I was like, sure, you can leave your stuff in the green room, shaking my head.
Oh. It's such a grandma move to bring your purse on stage.
I bring it everywhere.
Stage. I have my purse on stage, and someone, my friend Gray Delisle, actually, who's done the podcast, who's very charming and wonderful, has a great son named Tex, and we were having brunch the other day, and we were getting ready to go, and he was like, why do you have a diaper bag? He's five. And I said, shut your mouth.
Good.
You stupid kid.
Good.
It does look like a diaper bag. So I'm going to try to do two at once, which this could be a huge failure for sure.
Oh,
yeah,
you got
and
cut
I didn't
off.
Play with you because I wasn't
you
playing
lost.
It. I wasn't playing it. Uh-oh.
Hello?
I wasn't
playing.
It's over. What happened? MASH is the game that you probably were too cool to play. When you were younger, where
it's a Vietnamese game.
It's like, are you?
My point with that was that it was very segregated. Like people didn't hang out anyway.
I'm racially sensitive right now.
Should we look at this mic and find out what's going on?
Hello.
You want to look at it?
Check
one, two, three,
into the four.
Okay, Justin's trying to figure out what's going on with everything. Is
he
fine.
Could do it?
Yeah.
Justin. Yeah,
what's
yeah,
up,
yeah,
y'all?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That was the correct response. You know, it's that thing where it's like, are you going to live in a mansion, apartment, shack, or house? And like, what I'm going to start with, I'm going super traditional.
We're going to have to explain all of it to her.
It's going to be great.
Clearly.
I'm glad I left enough time for this. Natasha,
yes.
Name three guys, preferably people that people know, in your imaginary future. If you really never played this, that you'll end up with one of them. Like,
okay. And for a special Bridgetown part of it, they all have to be comics.
I love it.
Right? Then it's like exciting.
Okay. Well, Gallagher.
Right. Got it.
That was mine.
You can't pick him three times in a row, though. You have to pick two other ones too.
Gallagher too, his brother.
Yep. Good answer. Good answer.
And Guy Branum, because I hear him
right
there. Hi. Oh, hey, Guy.
And Peter Gallagher, the eyebrows.
That's good. As long as Gallagher's in it. Karen, I will not. We don't have to put those same rules on you. You can pick whoever you want. What do you
Moshe
want?
Moshe Kasher.
Oh, interesting. Interesting choice.
Robert Popper from England.
Who else you got?
I don't know. One of these locals.
How about Peter from England too? He's cute.
He's married. He's married. Has children.
Yeah. This is based. This is really gonna happen.
Gallagher's so. Probably not married.
Do you
is
have
he?
You ever heard of the this? Secret?
He's really smart about this.
And Guy Branum.
Guy, very popular this afternoon.
I think it's a good idea to marry gay men because, shoes and. I mean, I have to stop wearing clogs at some point.
No, you don't. You could just become a chef or a nurse.
Nice.
I'm ready, Karen, for three where is your vacation home? Three options.
As I think I like to stroke my own face.
You guys both did the same thing that almost seemed like sensory deprivation chamber. Yeah. Like, oh, this is, I got to at least imagine I'm in the chamber to come up with a good answer.
I'm trying to think of Mendocino.
That's like the call you make in the forest when you're trying to, I don't know, is that like a Game of Thrones thing? Yeah. Watch out for the archers.
San Francisco.
Good.
And sorry to take yours, but Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hills.
No, okay. I might end up living in Beverly Hills.
For your vacation home.
Oh, okay, good. Great.
That'd be a great place to go on vacation.
So relaxing.
From Silver
the
Lake.
Biggest, it's like the most concentrated area of assholes in all of Los Angeles.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. Natasha, your three vacation spots?
Bora Bora, of course. The south of France.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know where specifically.
That'll do.
And then how about Hollywood, Florida?
Oh,
yeah,
oh,
a little
just
danger.
Just to give myself something to work,
it's
work
good.
Against.
It's good. No, it's good. I like that you're playing fire a little bit, that you might end up with a horrible vacation home. Okay, you guys want to, anybody want to shout out suggestions for categories? No? Superpower. What superpower, Natasha? I'm going back and forth. Natasha, three superpowers. You'll get one in the end.
Aren't there only like five superpowers? I don't
know. Pick
this.
Three of them.
Boy, that's, yeah.
Hat ironing.
Please, hat steaming, please.
Sorry.
I'm not common.
Don't iron that thing, and it'll damage the wool.
I would like to, I definitely would like, is that a superpower where you don't have to take planes anymore?
Sure.
You just, okay, that.
It's called flying. Hello.
No, like where are you? I don't want to fly. I want to teleport.
Great. Oh, that's good. That's
but I would also like to fly.
Okay.
I would like to fly flying. With wings, and then I'd also just like to only fly first class.
And first class.
Those are my three.
It's a superpower. First class. Superpower, also known as being rich.
In this economy, it might as well be a superpower.
Karen, what about superpowers for
I
you?
I liked her.
Yeah.
I want to see more of her.
She speaks the truth.
She's fun.
Yeah.
Well, can I do flying if she did flying?
You can. Do
regular flying.
Regular flying.
Laser vision.
Does that mean? Okay, so that's like you can burn holes through people.
People, yeah. I'm going to kill people with my eyes. I'm very close already.
Great. You are. Oh, love it. Okay.
And then just like. I can always have candy in my hand when I want it.
Oh, candy hands.
Oh, that's a good one.
Sure,
right?
Candy hands.
The guy from Voodoo Donuts
candy
is in the back.
As, yeah. As Natalie and Terry are like, candy hands. Great graphic
candy
novel.
Hands.
We got this.
Candy
Let's
hands.
Get started on this right away.
I could put
fantastic.
Candy in other people's hands. I could just
fantastic.
Give candy.
Yeah. Okay. Any other suggestions? So, categories you like? You, sir. You raised your hand. You were flipping me off.
You had a story? Is that what you said?
You had a full story? That was not the time. You what? Oh, a superpower idea. Yeah, that ship has sailed. Immunity
from AIDS? Is that what you said?
Are you doing AIDS jokes? It's fucking Gallagher.
Gallagher!
Go home, Gallagher!
We don't like you!
Oh, Gallagher. How about, oh, I have my MASH category list that someone sent me. This is very handy. How about languages? Like, if you could speak a foreign language.
Okay. Me first?
Yeah. Why not? What did... languages. English is all that matters.
Well, let's see what would help me the most. Spanish.
Great.
Vietnamese.
Great.
Game of Thrones.
Love it. Great. Ms. Legero.
I would do French.
Mm-hmm.
Latin.
Hmm. Hey, it's where we all came from. Kind of. I don't know.
For praying.
Latin for praying.
Just for the high masses.
Yep.
And then I would like to speak the language that they speak on Honey Boo Boo.
Honey Boo Boo.
Because they have those subtitles.
Honey Boo Boo. Honey Boo Booey, I'm going to call it.
Where would you play this game? Answers.
Where would I play it?
Like what?
At school.
Oh, okay.
In your room. In your room at recess, in the backseat of the car of the guy, of the gentleman, the local businessman that you're making love to.
Yeah, the language you should have picked was a teenager that grew up in America.
How about this one? How about a cool, like a cool, famous best friend? Somebody that's in, it could be even a fictional character. It could be Barney Rubble. That's very, very not what
I
you should
I think we
pick.
Played the Gallagher thing out a little bit, man.
Yeah.
I heard you. Cool. Well,
I'll go.
I wrote that down because cool is the name of the kid in Parenthood.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So specific.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, his name was Cool. Yes,
Cool.
Mm-hmm. He was a really cute kid.
Go ahead.
Oh, Natasha's going? Okay.
Morrissey.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. He would be the worst friend ever.
Why?
I have a headache and I'm upset. Don't eat meat. Leather. I hate leather. He had a thing where he wouldn't go into a building, like was it The Daily Show or Colbert? He wouldn't go into the building because they served meat in it and people were wearing leather.
Yeah, he's a little obnoxious, but
Morrissey. That's your thing. Okay.
Okay, Morrissey.
And you can take turns too. You guys can go out of order. It doesn't really bother me.
Morrissey.
Great. Talk some sense into him.
Dali.
Mm.
The artist?
Mm-hmm.
The Dalai Lama.
Great. Perfect. Uh-huh.
The Millionaire Matchmaker.
Great.
I don't know her name, but she seems
neither
like
do I.
Real hoot.
And the Little Matchstick Girl.
Great. Yes. These are wonderful,
so
harmonious answers.
Cheer up, you little dying child. I'll give you a dollar.
Somebody who's more unhappy than I am. Okay, what about another career? A different career. Three different careers that aren't this. Whether you know anything about them or not. Just something that sounds interesting.
I want to be a graphic artist. I feel like that's the wave of the future.
Sure. Uh-huh.
I want to decorate mansions.
Love it. I also legitimately do kind of want to do that.
Wouldn't that be... We should start a decorating company and get out of this fucking business.
Right? She just gave a beautiful wink to the crowd, listeners at home. Okay, graphic artist, decorator.
I would want to be hairdresser.
Hairdresser.
I want to dance in a cage.
Dance in a cage. Cage dancer.
Right. When I'm not decorating.
Right. Right.
I want to dance out of a cake.
Great.
Sorry, I just keep stealing yours.
Cake dancer.
I just think I hear something else that you're saying.
It's good.
It. Mm-hmm.
It's good. It's beautiful flow. Okay, and your final other career, Natasha?
I would like to marry a European title holder. That's a career.
Trophy wife.
It's a little different.
I've got the pen. Okay, I am now thinking, so you have like a soundtrack to your life. You've got like a band that, three different bands or musicians that sort of help you, you know, color your life and your experiences as you're driving down the street.
Skrillex.
Great. Great.
Slipknot. Mm-hmm. Of course.
The soundtrack to Amelie.
That's delightful.
The soundtrack to Amistad.
Yep.
Philip Glass, Metamorphosis, Part 4.
Katy Perry.
Love it. Final category. Anybody want to? Pets? Pets. Three pets. Could be totally absurd, invisible, impossible, fantastic pets, or could just be like a dog.
A frog, is that what you said?
I said a dog.
Oh, a dog.
Even less interesting.
I want a donkey.
Great.
No, because I have chihuahuas and apparently they kill coyotes, the donkeys.
That's not true.
I have coyotes coming into my yard.
A donkey would kill a coyote?
Apparently that is what they're saying. On the internet.
That's fascinating.
Would just kind of stomp it real hard?
Yeah. I'm not sure, but I really want a donkey.
I really want to see this happen, so yes. Okay, donkey.
Is it because they think the donkey's filled with drugs, and if the coyote eats, it'll OD on coke or meth
yes.
or something? Then I want a donkey, too.
Right.
All donkeys. But six donkeys.
Donkey.
Let's get to the climax of this. Yes.
Okay. Karen, you're in charge of telling me when to stop.
Okay. Stop.
Okay. Would you please play us a song while I figure this out?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was as pretty as that porn star you're in love with, but I will never wear a tube top, pumps, and super skinny matchstick jeans, cause I was born with calves bigger than your average discus thrower's forearms. So for now, I'll just hang back and wait and see, and hope that one day you'll be scarred by acid or by love. If there's a God above, let him fix the score. Cause right now you're a solid 9 and I'm a 4. But I couldn't love you more. If only life was like a sitcom, if only I could play the husband, then I could just be fat and funny and you'd be hot and shut your mouth. But we all know our roles, it's impossible, it never will be otherwise. Men fall in love first through their eyes and second through their thighs. So I hope one day you go blind from a macular disease, cause there's no one else but me who loves you more. Now open up or I'll kick down your door, cause I couldn't love you more. Charge of who lives and who dies. He has open wounds and his heart's on fire. He can see us right now. He is watching us. Because of your sins, because of how much you lie, he forgives you now, but you'll see him soon, and then when you do, he will smash you.
Okay. One thing that, well, first of all, thank you so much, Karen. That
You're
was
welcome.
Awesome.
Great. I love it. I love to do it. I really
so
enjoy it.
It's so fun having a musical guest on the show. It would be weird if I, every time I did the podcast at my house, I brought someone in with like a microphone and an amp, but.
Sure, I'll do it. Don't be coy, Janet. I feel it too.
I have a hard time saying no, so I guess it's a thing now.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. Well, ladies, you have some very exciting futures. If I'm able to read my sad chicken scratch, one thing I want to point out is that I dutifully included all six donkeys during the count.
Like, thank you.
I got one. Oh, donkey! Like, as if I was surprised both times.
Donkeys of the future.
So you both end up with a donkey. Yours is filled with drugs.
Great.
And yours kills coyotes. And hopefully, you can tell the difference between coyotes and chihuahuas. I don't know if we thought that through
not
or not.
Not funny, sir.
Ooh.
Oh. Okay. Karen, does the Dalai Lama speak Vietnamese?
Oh. Did I get both?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I bet he could learn.
I mean, he can do just about anything,
he
right?
He seems so open.
I agree. So
I like his Rolex.
Don't you try to seduce the Dalai Lama.
He's mine.
Besides, you're going to be too busy with your own best friend. I don't know what this says. Morrissey, Dalai, and then who was the third person?
Oh, the millionaire
matchmaker.
The woman?
Your best friend is the millionaire matchmaker.
Oh, wait, sorry. The Dalai Lama is my best friend?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I thought he married him.
No.
Okay, good.
No. I'll tell you who you married in a second. So your best friend is the millionaire matchmaker. Which is actually a little bit of a waste because you speak fluent honey boo booey.
Honey boo booies, it's
I'm
called.
Sorry. That was racist of me.
Okay.
So I congratulate you on that. I hope you find a use for it. I guess that's the language we're all headed towards speaking. It's certainly in this country. So congratulations to you both. Millionaire matchmaker, that does kind of make sense to me though, Natasha, because you are an interior decorator. Of mansions. Meanwhile, you dance out of a cake.
Yes.
Congrats.
My God, I'm back to my dancing roots.
I know. You went all the way back to cake dancing.
Me and my heavy legs are gonna do it, girl.
And you're gonna be I can only assume that lucrative business is what allows you to buy your vacation home in beautiful Mendocino.
Ooh, good, right? Yeah.
Pretty. Meanwhile, Natasha is kicking back in Hollywood, Florida.
With my donkeys.
So that happened.
But at least you speak the local language. So you'll be fine.
You see? It never lies. And furthermore, this also makes sense that everywhere you go, you can enjoy the pulsating sounds of Skrillex. It's all coming together.
J'adore.
Nope. You don't speak French. Don't forget, you can't do that. But whenever you want to leave your apartment, because that's what you ended up with. One assumes your apartment, you also have an apartment in Hollywood, Florida, so really.
That's all they have there.
Yeah. You can always teleport. So that's good, because
okay.
If I were you,
okay.
I would maybe want to get some time away from your husband, Gallagher.
Yes!
Meanwhile, Karen, we know that you have a vacation home in Mendocino. It's a house. You speak Vietnamese. The Dalai Lama comes over to visit you at your house in Mendocino.
So you guys speak really great
Vietnamese
life.
Together. You're a cake dancer.
Yeah.
You have a donkey. We certainly established that.
I ride my donkey to the cake dancing gigs.
The donkey misbehave, I invite you to sear him to death with your laser vision.
Yes.
Yeah.
Will do.
Laser vision.
As well as others.
And I like this combination. I like that the soundtrack of your life with Guy Branum is none other than Miss Katy Perry.
Yes. We are going to dance
seems
so much.
To make sense.
This is going to be
so
the
So those
best.
Are your futures, guys.
I like it.
It's not that surprising, is it?
I'm not. I really hate mine.
Well.
And I hate this game.
Now, I guess somebody wishes she would have gone to a prom. That's not closure. What I just said wasn't closure
at all. It's a good slam, though.
But it was the end of the show. Guys, thank you so much for coming. Karen and Natasha, thank you so much for being
Janet.
My guests.
Thank you, Janet.
Thanks again to the Bridgetown Comedy Festival.
Which is cute.
And thanks to you, the Clubfoots.
I like it.
Of the second string.
Yes.
Who have all contracted JVD.
Hivvies.
If you look under your seat, you've contracted JDV. Thanks, everybody, for coming, and thanks to these guys for running our tech, and have a lovely Sunday evening with yourselves.
As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.